The prophet Ezekiel lived during the time of the Babylonian exile. In 597 BC, the armies of Babylon laid siege to Jerusalem and forced the city to bow and surrender. The king of Judea and many of the nation's leaders were carried back to Babylon as its captives. 10 years later, the city rebelled against being ruled by the Babylonians, and this time the Babylonians razed the city, tore down its walls, and destroyed the great temple of Solomon. And there was a second wave of deportations. Now, among those who had been in that first group of deportees was a young man named Ezekiel. And while in Babylon, God would call Ezekiel to become one of God's prophets, preaching God's word to the people. The period of the Babylonian captivity was one of great trauma for the Jews. For those who were left behind in Jerusalem, their capital now lay in ruins, and the future of their nation was in doubt as foreign armies came through. For the exiles, while they may have been physically comfortable in Babylon, spiritually, they were dying. Their heads were full of questions such as, had their God been defeated by one of the Babylonian deities? Had their God abandoned them, given up on them? Would they ever see their families or homeland again? And the answer to that last question is no. Most of them would not see Jerusalem again. It would be 70 years, several generations, before Cyrus the Great would defeat the Babylonians and allow the Jews to go back. One of these, as we know, was Nehemiah, who helped rebuild Jerusalem. The prophet Ezekiel in Babylon addresses this situation over and over in the book that we know as Ezekiel. But it is the passage that we read today that is probably the most well-known of all his words. Our reading today is a vision that Ezekiel has, a vision in which God lifts him up and transports him to this great valley that is littered with bones, dry, sun-bleached human bones. And God poses a question to Ezekiel about the bones. God says, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Now, if I were to have with me a bone, let's say it's the femur from a deer, a bone that I found while out walking in the woods, and if I were to hold up this femur and say, "Can this bone live?" you would all assure me that no, it would not. This bone was clearly dead. It had no marrow, no flesh. We could establish beyond a shadow of a doubt that this bone was dearly departed. I got more. Speaking of bones, there's some tourists who go into the Museum of Natural History and they're marveling at the dinosaur bones. One of them asks the guard, "Can you tell me how old these bones are?" And the guard replies, "They are 100 million, 4 years, and 6 months old." "That's an awfully exact number," said the tourist. "How do you know that age so precisely?" "Well," the guard says, "the dinosaur bones were 100 million years old when I started working here, and that was 4.5 years ago." They get worse. What do the skeletons say before eating? "Bon appetit." Yeah, who was the most famous French skeleton? That'd be Napoleon Bonaparte. And the most famous skeleton detective? Sherlock Bones. All right, so back to Ezekiel. I got that out of my system. Thank you. Ezekiel is talking with God in this vision. And Ezekiel has faith. So when God asks Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" it's a much different question than when I just When I pose that question and wave around an old dead deer bone, Ezekiel answers, "O Lord God, you know." So God says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones. Say to these bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Tell these dry bones, these human fragments scattered across the landscape, tell them that God will cause breath to enter into them, and they shall live. God will lay sinews on them. God will cause flesh to come on them. God will cover them with skin and put breath in them. And they shall live. And they shall know that God is the Lord." So Ezekiel does as he was told, and he prophesies. And suddenly, across the floor of this great valley, bones began to shake. Bones began to rattle. And bones began to roll together, bone to bone. And Ezekiel sees that the bodies are complete now. They've got sinews and flesh and skin. But they just lie there. They do not breathe. So God tells Ezekiel to continue to prophesy to the breath, calling for the winds to breathe upon these remains so that now they may live. And Ezekiel does so. And he calls for the breath of God, the Spirit of God, which brings life to creation. And the multitude, with a gasp, stands to their feet. The vision shifts a bit here when God now informs Ezekiel that these bones, which were scattered across the landscape, are indeed the people of Israel. The people who have been lamenting, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely." These are the exiles. These are the ones who were dragged from their homes to a foreign land to serve a foreign king. They feel lost and abandoned and devoid of hope. They feel cut off from their land. They feel cut off from their God. They are dry bones. God instructs Ezekiel to continue to prophesy and to inform the people that God is there. God offers them life. God will return them to Israel, and they will know that God is with them. God's Spirit will be with them, and they shall live. God will place them on their own soil, they will know the Lord. Well, the truth is that most of them will not see their homes in Judea or Israel again. Most of them will die in Babylon. Their children and their children's children may choose to return back one day when they are able. But we learn, and the people learn, in time that when they are with God, when they feel God, then Israel is with them. No matter where they are in the world, even as exiles in Babylon, they are still Israel when they have God. This passage is one of the most powerful that we have in Scripture. The vivid imagery of this valley scattered and littered with bones grabs the imaginations of all who read it. It is clear something terrible has happened in that place. It's not some sort of elephant's graveyard where people come to die. Those who died here were slain, as Ezekiel explains. They are the victims of some great battle. And their bodies weren't buried or cared for, but left to rot in the sun, to be eaten by the carrion and the scavengers, to have their bones scattered across the grounds. This is Ezekiel's vision. This valley of dry bones. I'm sure that most of us who read this today are approaching it theologically. Here we are in the fifth week of Lent, with Easter just 2 weeks away, and we have the resurrection of Jesus in our sights. Theologically, we know that God does not leave us, that God offers new life, a fact that is played out in Easter. We know all of this, and for this reason, I am aware of the fact that I am really preaching to the choir here, because you are people of faith. You know that God is with you. I have watched and seen that even in the most trying times, your faith does not disappear. Yes, you may doubt, you may question, but in the end, you are a people with a strongly rooted connection to God, and that connection does not break. You are not dry bones. One thing we need to remember about resurrection is that resurrection is messy. New life does not mean that we become fresh new babies. New life means we carry these scars of our old lives with us. Jesus, following the resurrection, had his scars to show his disciples. Our scars remind us of where we have been, what we've experienced, what we have learned, and how God was with us. New life is life in which God becomes the focus of our being, even our very breath. Every time we inhale, it becomes a sign of God's Spirit within us. That is new life. And when God's Spirit is within us, we are not dead, and we are always home. So my charge to you this day is to be a prophet like Ezekiel, to carry the living word of God to those who do not hear it, to those who are dried up, cut off, adrift, forgotten. You, each of you, has the power to prophesy. You have the power of God with you. So share it. You have the gift of new life, of resurrection. So share it. You have God's Spirit to breathe on those whose lungs are empty. So share it. Let the people know that God is with them. Amen.